Hello and welcome to Dairy Pod. I'm Kristen Davis from Dairy Australia. In this episode, we revisit a podcast episode that focuses on down cows and how to maximise their chances of recovery. Hear from vet Phil Poulton, who completed a PhD on this subject, as he speaks to Dairy Australia's National Lead Animal Health and Welfare, Stephanie Bullen, about when a cow goes from a down cow to a downer cow, how to safely lift and move her, appropriate nursing, and when you should use anti-inflammatories.
What's the first thing that we need to do when we find a cow down, you know, we're bringing the cows in for milk and we find a cow down in the paddock? What's your advice for a farmer in terms of really trying to minimise that risk of secondary damage? How soon after she goes down and can't get up does she start developing that secondary damage?
So that's a good question, because that can vary, obviously, like everything. If it's a big, heavy cow and she's down on a hard surface like concrete, and a good example of this would be a cow that's fallen down in the yard when you're milking her, sometimes even within 1 or 2 hours, that's long enough to cause irreparable damage to the muscles and the nerves. So a cow down on a hard surface, it really is an emergency to get her off. A lot of farmers say, I'll do that when I finish milking, and because that might be 3 hours later. And sometimes that's too long, and the cow at that point has already had irreparable damage to it. So farmers found a cow that's down in the paddock. The first thing he needs to do is assess whether that's what I call an alert down cow or a non-alert down cow, because that'll affect the severity and the urgency in dealing with that animal. If it's a milk fever cow and she's dull and depressed, lying on her side looking really crappy, that's an emergency, obviously, and she needs to be treated straight away. Similarly, if she's got a toxic mastitis or something like that, which is making her depressed. If she's sitting there bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and just can't quite get up, well, yes, we need to treat her as quickly as we can, but it's not necessarily urgent, unless she's in an unsafe environment. And this, again, is on my flowchart. So what I mean by that is she's under the fence, she's on the edge of a dam, or she's on concrete or gravel or a hard surface, because we don't want to leave her in an unsafe environment for any time at all.
So there's some quick checks that most farmers can do, Phil. Like, most farmers would be probably familiar with milk fever, but that's not always the cause or the primary cause. What would be your tips for kind of minimum checks if you've got a non-alert cow? What are kind of the key things that a farmer needs to check?
Yeah. Okay. So milk fever is obviously mainly associated with freshly calved cows. So immediately before and the few days afterwards. They're going to be down. They're going to be dull and dopey. Their nose will be dry, but they're not dehydrated. The eyes will not be sunken. So if the eyes are way back in her head, then it makes me think that something toxic, like a mastitis or a bad salmonella or something like that, and running calcium into the vein on those cows can actually kill them. So you're careful that you're not going to... A lot of farmers assume any cow that stands milk fever and they run calcium into the vein. Now, it's a good starting point, but I urge you to be careful, because giving too much calcium, giving it too quickly, or giving it to a cow that's not calcium deficient can cause the cow to die off the end of your needle.
Okay, so great tip, Phil. So if you've got a cow that, so we talked about cows that are bright and alert but still can't get up, and we've got the cow that's dopey and dull and depressed. If she's dopey, dull and depressed, but she's got sunken eyes, that's a bit more of a problem than just a milk fever cow. And in that instance, that's when it would be most appropriate to call the vet, do you think?
Yes, often if they've gone down acutely with a very severe illness, they need urgent attention, which would need veterinary to then be able to hit it properly. And if the farmer's not sure, well, then if you're going to run some calcium in, do it slowly and carefully by all means. And if the cow responds, yes, it is milk fever. But if it doesn't respond, or if you're not sure, then I'd urge you to get secondary advice, which is probably the vet, to come out and see what's going on. Because there's no point treating a cow for milk fever when she doesn't have milk fever, because she's not going to respond. Yeah, if she's down with pregnancy toxemia, which can look like a mild milk fever, then it's quite a different treatment, and you're on the wrong tram if you're treating her with calcium and not treating her appropriately for what she
has. Yeah, and the longer she's down, Phil, the more susceptible she's going to be to that developing that secondary damage.
Exactly right, and that's the trouble, that by the time you then realise you're on the wrong train, the vet comes out, and then there's all the secondary damage, so the cow's really behind the eight ball before you started. So treating her appropriately and promptly for the primary is a foundation of down cow, and that's a no-brainer. Making sure that you're on the right train is very, very important. And then once we've dealt with the primary, that's when we then start to think about the secondary. And again, continuing to treat a cow that's down with muscle damage from milk fever with calcium when she's no longer has milk fever, does nothing. You need to then nurse her, perhaps use anti-inflammatories and other appropriate treatment to look after the secondary damage to get her.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's probably a nice segue into the next part of our conversation, Phil. So we've got a cow, she's gone down with milk fever. We've treated her with the milk fever, so she's gone from dull and flat to a bright cow that's trying to get up, but she can't get there. So it seems like we've addressed the milk fever, but she's just not able to get up on her own. What do we do then?
Okay. So what we want to do after a couple of hours of giving her the treatment, we'd come back and reassess her. And if she's in the situation where you suggest there, Steph, it might be she just needs a bit more calcium. But it could also be that it's a wet, cold, shitty day in the middle of winter time, and the cow has actually now got a subnormal temperature and she's actually cold. She's lost her circulation in the legs because of the coldness and she can't get up from that. So under those situations, that's when it's important to move the cow into our dedicated nursing area, which we'll talk more about, where she's going to be warm, looked after properly, and that'll give her a good chance. Because leaving her out in the paddock in a wet, cold day when the circulation's not very good from the milk fever anyway, and now she's got compromised by the coldness, then that's the secondary damage that will stop her getting up.
And presumably that's the same. I mean, we've got a range of listeners, you know, in northern Victoria and, you know, even right up to subtropical dairy where it's not cold. But even just, you talked about that hard ground, you know, even if it's not cold, it could be that she's starting to get that secondary damage that you were talking about as well. So it's just as important to move those cows into our dedicated nursing area as well.
Indeed. And for our friends up in the subtropics, I know heat stress can be an issue too. So a cow sitting out on a hot, stinking day, then she needs to be out of there. Otherwise, she'll have the opposite effect to what we have here in South Gippsland, where they all die of frostbite. So yes, getting her, protecting her from the cold weather is, the extreme weather is important, be that hot or cold. And as you say about the surface too, if she's still down on a hard surface after a few hours, well, that could well be the problem, and we need to move her off that.
All right, let's talk about moving down cows, Phil.
Yep.
How on earth do you move a down cow? What's the consideration?
Very important, because the last thing we want to do is actually do more damage by moving her to our dedicated nursing area than if we left her alone. Some farmers would pick the cow up with hip clamps only and lift her up high, and then as she's dangling from the hip clamps taken from the paddock way up to the shed. That's unacceptable from a welfare point of view. And I'd strongly, strongly discourage that. If you have hip clamps and then you put a chest strap underneath her to support her sternum, so you have on your forks and your tractor the hip clamp off one end and the chest strap off the other, that's acceptable. That's quite easy to do, provided you're going slowly and carefully and not too far. You can put her on a variety of slings or carry-alls or things like that. But what I recommend is the easiest and best way is to actually roll her into the front end loader bucket on your tractor. And if you secure the head safely with a halter so she can't move around, and then crowd the bucket up so she's basically sitting on her back, that's a really safe way to transport her quite a distance. Just again, on the Dairy Australia website, one of the videos is showing me rolling your cow in there to show you how to do that. It's very easy with two people.
Okay, that's great. That was going to be my question, Phil, is how on earth do you get a cow into a bucket? I mean, she's 500 kilos and, you know, we might be 50, 60, 70 kilos. So is there a knack to it, Phil?
Yeah, look, it's easy. Two people, three would make it easier, but depending on the cow. But you've got one person in the tractor, so you just bring the bucket up to the edge of the cow and then roll the cow from one side to the other into the front of the bucket, and with a halter on her head, bend her head all the way back around. That'll cause her to fall into the bucket. And once she's done that, the driver can then move forward, scoop up with her, and then basically scoop her up.
And you talked briefly about the chest straps, Phil. So is that a special piece of equipment, or chest strap?
No, it's just something that you get from the hardware store, just one of those trucking straps with the ratchet on it. So if you put the hip clamps on, lift the cow up enough that you can then throw the strap underneath the brisket, lower the cow down again, and then secure the two ends of the trucking strap to the fork, and just a matter of adjusting the length right. So when you pick the cow up, the cow will be horizontal. You don't want the chest higher or lower than the back end, and just a little bit of a knack in getting that right. But once you've done that, you can then support the cow pretty well and off you go.
So if you're moving her a short distance, hip clamps and a chest strap is an acceptable way to move her, so you haven't got all the weight on the hips. Yes. But if you're moving her an extended distance, then they really do need to go into the bucket of a tractor. Am I right?
Yeah. I think that's the easiest way. The trouble with putting on a carry-all or a sled or a tray is that cow tends to crawl off it. So if she's in the bucket and sitting up on her back, crowded up with the bucket, the cow really can't move, she can't hurt herself and she can't get out, and that's a really easy and safe way to do it, I think.
All right, so we're moving the cow out of the paddock because we want to get her either off the hard ground or out of the cold or the extreme heat. What are we doing? Where are we taking her, Phil?
Okay, so my mantra is that every farm needs a dedicated nursing area for down cows.
Yep.
Now, most farms don't have them, and the farmers say, oh, look, I'll worry about that when I've got a down cow. That's fine, but the trouble is when you've got a down cow, that's imposed on your day already. So,
and it's calving time. You're going to be run off your feet anyway. Yeah,
you're busy. You haven't got time, and then all of a sudden you've got a down cow to deal with, so the day's gone to pieces already. Which means that you're probably not going to move the down cow there till the end of the day or perhaps tomorrow when you get round to it. But, hey, that's too late because by that stage all that damage has occurred. If you've got a dedicated area set up in advance of starting to calve, and that's what I recommend, then it's very easy to pick the cow up, put her in there, and often that might be only an hour or two after she's gone down. Now, if you get a cow down with calving paralysis, well, then the first thing I'd do, go down there, pick her up, bring her back to our shed straight away. Don't leave her there in the paddock all day because, as I say, you'll probably have the consequences before you've even moved her. And if you're setting it up in advance, you can then do it properly rather than putting something together at the short notice, which won't be as efficient.
So dedicated nursing area, Phil, that sounds expensive.
No, not at all. It's very simple and easy. Again, the fact sheet goes through the fundamentals of down a cow nursing. So there's a lot of good information there. Basically, what I like to do is have an area for a single cow, which would be about 3 metres by 3 metres or thereabouts. We don't want the cow crawling around in an extended area because that causes a lot of secondary damage to the femoral nerve from the back getting out and twisting and causing damage to that. We want her on a steep, soft bedding. And what I mean by that would be something like 30 or 40 centimetres of sawdust, rice holes, wood shaving, something like that sort of area. Sand is very good as well. If she's on hay or straw, it needs to be probably about 0.5 metre deep, because what the cow does is she digs through the substrate. And if it's an open substrate like hay or straw, she's going to dig down through that much easier than a more compact substrate. And if she digs through the substrate, she's then sitting on the base, which in most sheds is going to be gravel or perhaps even concrete. Effectively, the cow is then sitting on a very hard surface, and then you've achieved nothing. So what I recommend would be having a small area in the shed, ideally, to protect her from the weather, be that hot or cold. Having her enclosed with barriers so she can't crawl out of that area and get off it, because I've had a few you put in the hay shed and put them on a lovely bed and come out the next day, and of course they've crawled out the front and they're lying in the mud or the gravel out the front. So we need a barrier to stop them crawling and to confine them on their bedding, and that way we can control the bedding that they're on. Now, is it expensive? Well, if you want to build a dedicated shed for that, yes, you can spend as much money as you like. But if you can set aside an area in a pre-existing shed already, all we need to do is have some barriers on two sides, because you've got walls for two sides, or you can make an area out and you might use a couple of big round bales. What often works well is two round bales side by side is about the right sort of width. So if you're making one, say, outside where weather's not a major problem, you could put six round bales in a U shape, so two on each of the three sides, and then a gate across the front that you can get in and out of, or any combination of that. A lot of farmers will use rice holes or similar substrate in their calf sheds, and they've usually got leftover stuff from last year. So what you can do is bring a couple of scoops of last year's leftover stuff, put that as your bedding, and that's not going to be quite so hygienic, but you can put at least 30 or 40 centimetres of that, and then get another bucket load of clean stuff to put on the top, and then you've got a beautiful, hygienic, clean, soft, deep area that the cow can be confined on. Now, if it's in a shed that's close by and convenient, it needs to be. You don't want the cow in the hay shed way down the back paddock because you're only going to go to there once a day. You need to be checking and observing this cow multiple times during the day to feed and water her, to roll her if that's appropriate, which we'll come back to, and make sure that if she ends up flopping over on her side that you can sit her up and not have any other damage going on from that sort of thing.
Yeah. So, Phil, what if it's not cold and it's not really hot and she's on a paddock full of soft grass?
Okay. So paddock nursing was a lot of the cows I was investigating. And what I concluded with paddock nursing is that paddock nursing is satisfactory if it's not too hot, it's not too cold, the ground's not too hard, the ground's not too cold, it's not too muddy, if the cow's not crawling around and out in the paddock she's got to crawl, and if she can be supervised adequately so that you can check her a number of times during the day. So, yes, paddock nursing can be all right, but with all those prerequisites, there's not too often that it is. So it's easy and convenient to have it down there. Some farmers think that a cow crawling around in the paddock to be able to eat the grass is good because it gets the circulation going. No, it doesn't, because the legs get out behind them and that damages the femoral nerve, and you get secondary femoral nerve damage and that stops them getting up. So we don't want cows crawling.
And how often should we be lifting cows, Phil?
Lifting, that's a very important part of nursing. Most farmers use hip clamp. A lot of people think hip clamps are cruel and don't like them. A lot of people think they're great. I've had a lot of experience with my nursing of these down cows, and my summary of it is that hip clamps are the best thing for down cows and hip clamps are the worst thing for downer cows. So every cow is different, and we're not going to have one rule about hip clamps and lifting cows. Some of the seminars I give for Dairy Australia, the farmer would say, look, I was told years ago by the vet that I have to lift the cow for half an hour twice a day every day. Okay, well, that's good if she's responding properly, but that's the worst thing to do if she's not. So again, what's going to happen with the cow? If you pick a cow up and she can stand reasonably well by with just the support of the clamp, then it's the best thing. But if she's not, if she's hanging from it, that's the worst thing. You're going to get a tremendous amount of pressure over the pelvis where the hip clamp's attached. That's going to cause muscle swelling and pain. And within a few days, the cow is going to be sore. And when you pick her up, she's just going to say, oh, that hurts. I'm not going to try and stand. Bingo, you got secondary damage and pain, and the cow is worse than if you didn't lift her at all. My rule is, my two rules with lifting is it's got to be effective and it's got to be supervised. What do I mean by that? Effective lifting to me is the cow, when you pick her up, she can bear at least 2/3, ideally 3/4 or more of her weight on her worst leg. Now, if she can do that, so she's bearing a reasonable amount of weight, the clamp is just steadying her and balancing her, then that's great because it gets the circulation going, and that will help give her confidence that she can stand. So that's where it's the best thing. If she's bearing less than that amount of weight, so that you're going to get so much pressure, then lifting is going to cause more damage than good. Why can't they bear more than that amount of weight is one of two reasons. Either the damage to her is such that she's unable to bear weight on that leg, or bad paralysis or something like that. But equally, a lot of cows, it's not that they can't, it's just that they won't. Lifting a cow up by a clamp is quite foreign to a cow. And anything with a bit of an attitude or temperament, a lot of them will resent that, so they're actually fighting against you. You're trying to do the right thing by the cow gets a bit peed off about it, she doesn't cooperate. So that cow is then not standing because she doesn't want to, and whether she can't or whether she doesn't want to, either way, it's an ineffective lift, and that's the worst thing. Now, what do I mean by supervised? Well, supervision is important so that when she's up, you're able to keep a close eye on her, because after a variable time, the cow will then tire and want to sit down. Now, that might be 5 minutes, it might be sometimes even a couple of hours. So as soon as the cow is no longer standing effectively, that's when we need to be able to respond, put her down. So an effective lift doesn't become an ineffective lift, and we've undone all the good work that we've done.
Sure.
So that means, again, coming back to our dedicated nursing area, it needs to be somewhere close and convenient. I'm not saying particularly that you need to stand there and watch the cow for all of that time she's up. You just need to be able to respond. So having it in a shed close to the dairy or the calf shed or somewhere like that where you can then go about and do a few little jobs while you're keeping an eye on her, and then as soon as she's tired, putting it down is ideal.
All right. So, Phil, we've talked a little bit about effective nursing and, you know, when the cow doesn't want to stand or she's unable to stand, which I suppose is going to lead me into my next question, which is when do you know when to give up? Not all these down cows are going to recover. How do you know? How do you make that decision? What are the things that you need to consider about the decision? Because if she doesn't want to stand, is it because she's not going to recover or is it because she doesn't want to? Talk me through the decision process that a farmer needs to think about.
Okay, good question, Steph, because that comes back to the issue of welfare. The reason Dairy Australia got me to do the research here a few years ago is because they wanted some good, robust study looking at how to manage down cows to make sure that they're being nursed correctly. It's a very important issue from a welfare for two levels. One is the individual cow's welfare. We're obviously concerned that she's going to be looked after properly, and that's important. But bigger picture, from the industry point of view, it's vital for our industry that we, as key stakeholders in the industry, be it vets, advisors, farmers, that we're doing everything we can to maintain the highest quality and standard of welfare for the animals that we deal with. Now, the trouble with gold standard nursing is there's a lot of time involved in it. You need to have the right facilities. You need to be able to have enough person power to then look after that cow adequately. And if they're going to be down for 2 or 3 weeks, which it's not uncommon for some of these bad paralysis, there's an enormous amount of investment and time into that animal. Is that worthwhile? Well, that depends on how you value these things. A lot of farmers will put an awful lot of time and effort into it and think it's worthwhile. But more and more these days with the bigger farms, a lot of employed labour, we're finding that farmers don't tend to persist as long as what they used to. And a lot of farmers, if the cow's not up after 2 or 3 days, they'll then collect to euthanise that cow. A lot of those cows would have gone on and recovered given more time. But if the farmer's not able and not willing to look after that cow at a high level, and when I say not willing, I don't mean it's because they don't care, it's just they don't have the time and the resources. Well, then rather than having her sitting out in the paddock being nursed poorly for a week before he shoots her, I'd much prefer that that call was made earlier. Give her 2 or 3 days. If they're not up by then, unless they're being nursed at a high level, they're unlikely to get up. If they are being nursed at a high level, continue to do that. Yes, please do. That's the best thing for them. But if you can't nurse them at a high level, destroy them after 2 or 3 days because they're not going to have a very good chance of getting up. The cow's welfare is going to suffer. The industry's reputation is going to suffer. So do it well or don't do it at all is my take-home message there.
What sort of recovery rates are we talking about, Phil, between like a gold standard, dedicated nursing area, optimally nursed cow? What sort of recovery would you expect for a cow that's nursed like that versus a cow that's nursed poorly? What are the stats?
The reasons these cows went down was many and varied, and some of them were not going to get up no matter how good a nursing we do.
So what would be some examples of those?
So a really severe calving paralysis where the nerves are totally destroyed.
Sure.
She's got no hope at all. And that again comes back to make sure that we know what's wrong with a cow and how seriously injured it is, because if it's too severe, it needs to be euthanized on the first day. It's no point nursing her because you've got no hope.
Yeah.
What I found in my studies was that there's only about, I think off the top of my head, about 13% of the cows of my 218 that didn't recover solely because of the primary damage. So yes, primary damage is important, but about 3/4 of the cows that didn't recover because of the secondary damage.
Wow. That's massive, Phil. For 3/4 of the cows, it didn't matter what the primary cause of, so whether it was milk fever or calving paralysis, they didn't recover because of the secondary damage, because of the way they were managed after going down.
That's right.
Yeah, that's massive.
Solely because of the secondary damage. And then another 13% was because of combination of primary and secondary.
Sure.
But that figure blew me away. I knew secondary damage was important, but when we did the research, that was an outstanding fact that, as I say, 3/4 of the cows that did not recover solely because of the secondary damage. So what that tells me in an ideal world is if you can stop all of the secondary damage from occurring, So that means gold standard nursing starting right at the very start of their recumbency. If you can get no secondary damage, and again, coming back to the water tanks, that's where they're so good because you get very, very little secondary damage with that. Then you could expect to get 3/4 of the cows that you would have go down would recover. Obviously, depends why they went down, but talking big picture. Whereas the ones that were being nursed at an unsatisfactory level, there was less than 6% of those cows that recovered.
So based on that, Phil, we, you know, your PhD really clearly demonstrated just how effective nursing is. So, you know, when we think about things like anti-inflammatories and, you know, other sort of supportive therapies, nursing is still fundamentally the number one thing. How effective are anti-inflammatories compared to good nursing, for example?
Okay. Anti-inflammatories, I think, is part of the overall thing. So the anti-inflammatories will take away a lot of the swelling to the muscle and to the nerve. So you can use that both preventively and also to help treat if they do have that. Anti-inflammatories are prescriptions, so they need to be obtained through your vet.
And just so we're clear, Phil, when we're talking about anti-inflammatories, we're not talking about antibiotics, we're talking about anti-inflammatories. Yes. So things like ketoprofen, Medicam, these are just some examples, Flunixin, Tolfajec, they're just a couple of examples. Yes. That's what we're talking about, isn't it, Phil?
That's correct. That's right, yes. And a lot of farmers will have access to them because some of them would use that for treatment of mastitis. So if you've got that on hand, or if you don't, well, then you need to get the vet either out or get it dispensed from the vet. So they are an important part of it. But there's no substitute for nursing. And what I found in my trial is that if I just looked purely at whether they had anti-inflammatories or not, it made very little difference.
Wow.
In fact, there was no statistical difference whether they had it or not. That doesn't mean don't use them, because there's a lot of cows that probably didn't make my study, had the anti-inflammatories recovered, so therefore they got up. So, yes, use the anti-inflammatories. It will help. And also, I think from a welfare point of view, it helps take away some of the pain and the suffering. So it's certainly indicated from that aspect too. I'm a big fan of using anti-inflammatories. In fact, any downer cow, in my opinion, needs to have anti-inflammatories. But if that's what we're relying on and not concentrating on the nursing, we're not going to get a very good result. I found no statistical difference whether you use anti-inflammatories or not in the recovery, but if I compared good quality nursing to poor quality nursing, there's something like a 12-fold difference in recovery.
12-fold,
which means, you know, that's enormous. So if you can do something and double the chance of the cow recovering, that's good. I'm telling you that gold standard nursing will improve the chance of recovering by 12-fold.
That's amazing.
So it's, very, very significant. And again, you know, blew me away when I realised how powerful that nursing is. So anti-inflammatories, yes, but nursing first, nursing second, nursing third, maybe some anti-inflammatories as well, and then nursing.
But when you what about pressure sores, Phil? Is that a trigger for euthanasia, or can they be managed?
It depends how severe they are. If you get developing pressure sores, that's telling you that you're not nursing that cow properly. So you need to change the nursing and improve it. If you improve it, they will probably recover. But if you've got pressure sores over the pelvis from lifting the cow inappropriately and too long, and you continue to keep lifting that cow inappropriately for too long, she's going to get worse and worse, and that will be a reason to destroy the cow because she's not going to recover. So, again, it comes back to how well you're being nursed, whether they're going to recover from that.
Look, Phil, this has been an amazing discussion, and as we both know, you know, we could talk about this topic all day, and you've just got such a wealth of knowledge. Really want to thank you for your time and for sharing your knowledge with the listeners on the podcast. As Phil said, there's lots of fantastic further resources, videos, the flowchart that he referred to available on the Dairy Australia website. So if you'd like more information, go and have a look there. Thanks so much for joining us, Phil. Thanks for your time.
Great to talk to you.
For more information about down cows and how to care for and manage them, visit dairyaustralia.com.au and search down cows. We hope that you have enjoyed this Dairy Pod. If you have any questions or ideas for future episodes, you can get in contact with us by emailing dairypod@dairyaustralia.com.au. Thank you for listening.